بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. So today, what we're going to be doing is a Q&A. I asked you guys yesterday to ask us questions on Instagram. So at the time that you're seeing this, it's probably going to be like 2 weeks into the future. Let this be a reminder though.
If you don't follow us on Instagram, go follow us so you can ask us questions when we ask for a Q&A.
You know what's so crazy? What? You see people like, yeah, I don't even got Instagram. I just watch you guys on YouTube.
Well, we got a couple hundred questions here, so I'm going to have to just choose from some of the ones that I saw. But before we get into this podcast, I just want to, first of all, thank Allah for this opportunity to allow us to have this podcast and to allow us to speak about Deen. And to try to use our platform for good, as you all know about what's going on in Sudan. Right now, we're fundraising with our partners, Human Development Fund, to try and bring relief to those who are affected and suffering right now in Sudan. So if you guys can support, share our link, donate, do whatever you can. Inshallah, the link is in the description. I want you guys to check out Human Development Fund. They're an organization that we are partnered with, and everything that they're doing right now is also part of our mission, part of what we're trying to achieve, inshallah. Trying to bring aid to those, trying to end the cycle of injustice, and many more, inshallah. So just check them out and donate wherever you can, inshallah.
For those of you who don't know, we are Sudanese brothers, all three of us. We're all Sudanese, we're not Somali, and it's our people, and it's an honor to be able to help them. So please, if you could, just click the link in our bio, go donate, whatever you can, share, anything helps, inshallah.
May Allah deal with the oppressors. May Allah destroy them. May Allah destroy those who support them. May Allah bring aid to all of our brothers and sisters in Sudan. Like, just what I've seen in the past few days has been, like, absolutely atrocious. Like, I don't know if you guys have been, like, catching up with it, but it's like, I mean, of course we have. But, like, you know, just seeing, like, even the most recent atrocities that's been going on. You got people having to praise the government. Then they praise the government, then they get shot, they get killed. People digging their own graves. You got satellites seeing blood stains all over. Like, subhanAllah, this is, like, this is something that we haven't even seen before.
And you know, the crazy thing is, there's videos of all this, meaning someone recorded this happening.
Bro, I just want you to imagine, right? Like, subhanAllah, like, this might sound like a little silly, but like, there's been times we watch like a movie or a cartoon, we'll see the villain, he'll pick up like the camera and he'll be like, yo, like, this is my warning to all of you guys. But like, this is all stuff you see in a movie and cartoons, and you're like, oh, like, this stuff is not real. But subhanAllah, these people are doing exactly that. They're literally filming and documenting. May we all be a witness to all these people on the Day of Judgment, so Allah can deal with these people.
Allahumma ameen.
All right, so without further ado, let's get into this first question. The first question that we got yesterday was, what is one advice you would give to college students trying to maintain deen and school?
Man.
Yeah, we looking straight at you, bro.
It's a crazy question because I understand the struggle, for real. But there's an ayah in the Quran that comes to mind. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. Whoever disbelieves in false things and believes in Allah has held on to the firm anchor. The firm anchor. You know what an anchor is? When you're in the sea and the waves are crashing, there's a storm, you don't throw people overboard. You don't throw food overboard. You don't try to save weight. You throw an anchor and you stay in the same place. And you remember where you're at. That's the best advice I could give. It might seem like things are wishy-washy. You're going all over the place. You're young right now. But you just hold on to the firm anchor. Remember, la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. That's like, it sounds simple. It sounds cliche. It sounds like, oh, that might not be enough. But that's what all the prophets came with. That's the main message. Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhal jannah. Whoever says la ilaha illallah, he has entered paradise. So he will enter paradise. So just remember that. And remember, if you ever find yourself struggling, look, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمْ خَطَّعَ الْخَيْرُ خَطَّعِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. All the sons of Adam commit sins, but the best of those who commit sins are those who repent. If you stick to the five prayers, whatever sin, whatever things that you might be going on in your life, those five prayers, over time, they will diminish it. It will just fade away. Just stick to the five. Just don't ever leave that. You know, try and focus on that. But yeah, that's the best advice I could give.
I would also add on that, know that as much as you want to study, you want to start a career with whatever it is you're studying in school, or if it's high school, if it's college, if it's a trade, whatever it is, know that Allah is the owner of knowledge. So you cannot achieve what you want to achieve without Allah regardless. So you could study, you can get your degree. That doesn't guarantee you a placement in a job. It doesn't guarantee you a good career. Everybody has this like cliche mindset that thinks if I further my education, I'm automatically going to be set up for life, that I'm going to get a job. But nowadays, now our generation, they either want to be entrepreneurs and they want to skip out on college, or if they go to college, it's very hard for them to find a job. So your education is not going to guarantee you success. Allah is going to guarantee your success. So that's one thing to always remember, is that nothing should ever get in the way of your deen. Not your education, not your job, not your family, none of that. Because all of these things are a test. And Allah warns you about this in the Quran, saying even in Surah At-Taghabun, where Allah says, your wives and your children are a test, but indeed with Allah is a better reward. Now, that's not to say that they're not good, but it's to say that there are things that we might look for in our family that they can't provide, because Allah is the provider.
I mean, I will just add this. I mean, it's very general, but, you know, upon you guys as the deen, we've seen many people gain the dunya, chasing the akhirah, but we've never seen, you know, anybody put the dunya before the akhirah and gain both.
What situation made you realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners, or brought you closest?
I would say the creation of Deen Tour, because first I was really opposed to the idea. I didn't want to do it. Me and you were against it. Yeah, we were pretty much against it. And then it was just slowly like, then you started seeing, you know, we got into it. And then boom, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the blessed of planners. And you think about it now, the way I think about it now is like, subhanAllah, one person may watch our videos and they receive some benefit from it. That's like us serving our purpose. Like, we have fulfilled that. Like, Allah is the best of planners. Perhaps they were supposed to receive guidance from somebody. It just happened to be from us. And Allah wrote that for us.
I agree, because I never thought that I would love Islam so much that I'd want to talk about it. I always thought that, like, okay, as long as I can pray, you know what I mean? Like, I keep my deen to myself, I won't have to worry. But it kept elevating to the point where I would see social media and I was like, man, I have a lot to say, but I don't have anyone to say it to. So the only thing that I felt like I could do was talk about it on social media and just like let people know, hey, I have things I want to say, but I'm not here to teach you. I just want to, you know, give my perspective, because I feel like I'm relating to a lot of people and people are not speaking about it. I have experiences that maybe people can relate to, young Muslims, Muslims in the West, Muslims who grew up in America, that they might relate to, they might want someone to talk about them with, but they don't have that. So I felt like, okay, maybe I could do that. And that's something I never thought I would do. It's like, just like how I came to want to pray, it came on like a whim. It came on just like one day I was like, okay, I need to start praying. And I need to start being more consistent. So I would say that definitely is an instance where Deen Tour came from, because I went from someone who just only wanted to play sports. I wasn't very knowledgeable about what I wanted to do with my life, as far as like how I wanted to go about a career or whatever. But for some reason, I was able to start this with my brothers, and like, here we are.
And then another way to think about it is that we're kind of like, on this side of the world, we're the only, like, of our family, we're the only like immediate, like, Osman is our first cousin. And just when you think about it like that, we end up doing something great together.
So,
and we're the only people on this side of the world. And like, it's like, we kind of took advantage of that opportunity. Allah's the best of planners. How did we end up over here? Osman's dad was the first one to come over here. It was like, and it just came like from that. If you think about it from that perspective, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners. We ended up here. We ended up in this room. We ended up doing this
podcast.
Going
back to the beginning of time.
Let's dive back even deeper to that. You got to understand, like, even where my dad's from, he's from a village that's, you know, very far away from, you know, the capital. Place that, you know, up until very, very recently had no electricity, you know. Was very small village, very small town, to end up here in Florida. You know, what I mean? And just like, I'm not gonna get into the, like, the details, but just like the fact on like how when he first got here too, like it wasn't like the easiest thing at first, you know, to get over here.
So yeah.
Okay, so look, just because I want to answer as many questions as we can, some of them we're gonna go quick. Who do you guys think recites the best in the group? I'm going to just keep it a buck. I'm going to say this Osman. Guy right here with the Land of Blacks hoodie. If you're not watching YouTube, it's obviously Osman, my younger brother. I think that's just more because he practices more than the rest of us, and he leads more. And I believe it's a hadith. Like, if you really want to learn the Quran and, like, you know, continue to keep what you memorize inside your head, it's to practice. It's to constantly recite it out loud. Not just recite it by reading it, but reciting it in prayer. Because reciting in prayer, you know, you're standing before Allah. So it's like there's a little bit more pressure on you, not bad pressure, but pressure on you to make sure you do it right.
Make sure you don't mess up.
Now you feel cooked. Yeah. Like, yep. I can't tell you how many times, bro, I'm reciting in prayer and then like I low key pause for a second because I'm like, wait, was that the right ayah?
Yeah.
No, you know, this sounds like it might sound harsh, but one of the worst feelings in the world is you're leading prayer and you make a mistake and you hear something from the back, they got to correct you. And you're like, you're just like, dang, I messed up.
Not getting corrected, and you know the next time, but it's just not coming out.
Yeah, bro.
Now you're just stuck.
Now you're stuck, man. But.
Okay. How to build prophetic character and emotional intelligence? This is a deeper question.
Emotional intelligence. I'm not sure I am emotionally intelligent.
The first thing I'd say is that you're asking the wrong people. You might think that, oh, yeah, you see us and we can give you I can give you maybe like small pieces of advice, but I'm not going to say I'm someone who embodies the character of the prophet or I'm very emotional and intelligent. I can't place that upon myself. Maybe some people will see that from me, but that's not something that I'm going to place upon myself just because, like, I want to keep myself humble, and two, I'm always trying to do better. I'm always trying to learn. And to be able to learn that, you have to read about the stories, you know, read his interactions with every single type of person. Read his interactions with his wives, with his uncles, ones who were non-Muslim as well. Read about his interactions with enemies, people who despised him, people who hated him. Read about these types of interactions and see how he acted. And then go ahead and reflect on how you've acted if you've been in a similar situation where you've been in a situation with someone you didn't like, someone who was being mean to you, someone you were arguing with, and see how you controlled your anger, you controlled your emotions, and how you turned to Allah in that moment to react in a way that would be pleasing to him and not pleasing to shaitan.
The Prophet ﷺ should be the person that you study the most. I don't understand this, you know, idea of studying celebrities. Oh, you know where this person was from. You know their mother's name, their father's name, where they were born, what their first song was, blah, 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 blah. And you don't know anything about the Prophet ﷺ, when yet he's the example that you should be following.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, you got to understand the prophets, peace and blessings be upon them, they had extremely unique lives. A lot of them, think about Musa alayhi salam, separated from his parents. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, separated from his parents, grew up, went through hardship, accused, slandered, backbitten, exiled from their homes by the nation, not just by the people, like their neighborhood, by the nation, by the people, by the rulers that governed that land. They were exiled and they dealt with that. So one thing that comes to mind when it comes to advice on how to have prophetic character, it's patience, because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed Allah is with the patient. If you can master that, that's Allah's word. That's the truth right there. So it's like, if you can master that patience, if you can master, you know, being in tune with reality so much so that you don't react with frustration, anger, sadness, despair, then I could say that, you know, subhanAllah, you can try and be like the Prophet.
Yeah, it's just reflecting upon those moments when you're put under pressure, because when you're put under pressure, it's truly what truly reveals your character.
It's gonna bring it all out of you. Yeah,
you have to constantly like judge yourself before you even judge others too, because if you really want to embody good character, because good character goes hand in hand with deen. People think that deen is separate from character, but no, they're one and the same, because when you have good character, your deen is going to reflect that, because character comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only comes from Allah. You can't say that I'm a good person because of myself. Where does good come from? Good comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're surrounded by so much fitna, so much evil within ourselves and our nafs, struggling against our nafs, that when you fight that and you choose to be a good person, choose to act well with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will grant you even more blessings in his deen.
Here, dive deeper into the importance of character. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? He was asked about a lady. She used to pray, she used to fast, she used to do a whole lot of good deeds, but she was bad to her neighbor, she backbit this person, you know, she wasn't really good in her character. And the Prophet ﷺ said, she's in the fire. Like, subhanAllah, look at that level of importance of character. Like, you could be someone who prays and fasts and does everything, but if you're, like, bad in character, like, that will still drive you to the hellfire.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important, is because, like, how heavily it's weighed. Like, we all think that, yes, we are going to be asked first about our prayer, but how heavily that, yes, these acts of worship weigh on the Day of Judgment, as well as how you acted with the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created.
Because like I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's the most just. If I do you wrong, Allah's not going to take that right away from you. Like, subhanAllah, like, you have the right to go ahead and deal with me like in a matter that
will be settled.
And it's also like, even if you pray your 5 daily prayers, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily safe, that you can be nasty to other people. Say like, oh yeah, I pray. So even if I am nasty, I think I'm good. Mm-hmm. I think I'm okay. This is exactly what arrogance is. This is also injustice.
It's like,
because when you don't recognize, that you're wrong, that you've wronged someone, or that you've been mean to someone, just because, oh, I pray my 5 daily prayers, I make my ethkat every single day, I do my morning and evening ethkat, but I'm mean to my neighbors, I'm mean to my parents, I back by so and so, and you don't perceive that.
Look at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's the best in character, the best creation amongst all of mankind, and yet how many times was he seeking forgiveness from Allah? Like that should just truly show you, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we mess up every single day. We're not constantly asking for the same level of forgiveness that he was, even though we should be asking for a lot more.
How to deal with low iman and avoid procrastinating when it comes to prayer and learning Islam, etc.
First thing is, I mean, learning who Allah is, learning his names and attributes. I mean, this right here will take your Islam to a whole different level. You know, getting to truly know who you're worshiping and who your Lord is.
You know, this is a beautiful advice I heard. SubhanAllah, we hear the names of Allah. We hear Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya Rahman, Ya Ghaffar. And we call upon those names. We ask Allah to forgive us of our sins, and we're certain in that. But when we call upon his other names, we say Ya Razak. We forget that, right? We say Ya Razak. But why are we not certain in that? Why are we not certain in Al-Wadud? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most loving. Why are we not certain in those names like we're certain in Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Ghaffar? If we were certain in that, SubhanAllah, imagine how we would utilize those other 99 names and those other 99 attributes. And how we would recognize Allah for who he was. Because think about it, we're all human beings. What could be more devastating to somebody than to not know who their creator is, not know their abode, not know, subhanAllah, the person who, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who governs our lives. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who controls the outcomes, all we can do is control our effort. Mm-hmm. You know, subhanAllah, the outcome is for Allah to control, but our minds, that's for us to control. Our efforts are everything.
Let me tell you something too. You're talking about control. And I was telling a friend of mine this yesterday that, you know, we're stuck in a world where everybody's fighting for power. They're fighting for what they can own. They're fighting for their land and trying to expand it and get all these resources. But I was like, you don't even own your body. Allah's the owner of your body. Your prayer. Allah's the owner of your prayer. You don't own none of your prayer. You can't say if your prayer has been accepted or not. Your body, it's an amanah. It's been entrusted to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you're unjust to your body, Allah's going to punish you for that. He's going to ask you about that. Yeah. He's going to ask you about your prayer. He's going to ask you about the time that he gave you. Allah's the owner of time. So he created time for you. He gave you the sun and the moon. He flips them. All he does is flip them. But for us, we say that days have passed by, years have passed by. The earth goes around the sun one time, and we say that a year has passed by. Even though when you think about it in actuality, it's just gone in a circle. But for us, this allows us to see that time is passing by. Our bodies are aging. We're growing. And so if you're not utilizing that and it's not motivating you to know that none of this stuff is something that you own, that when you're asked about something that you didn't own, but Allah gave it to you without asking you for anything in return except to say, worship me, associate no partner with me, and you can't even do that, then you're going to understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to fill the hellfire with people that didn't take advantage of what he'd given them, because he only asked one simple thing. For us, for some reason, we view it to be something very, very difficult. And for some people, it is. Because some people have to leave everything they knew and turn to Islam. You know, some people have to leave their desires and come to Islam. And Allah never said that was going to be easy. But that's why he promised a great reward for those who do.
You know what's crazy? In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes mankind as a whole, as argumentative, protesting. We're always arguing something. But this, but that, but this, but that. SubhanAllah.
And what surah is that from?
I think it's surah Isra, but I'm not sure.
What's the ayah?
Insana ladhuluman kafar, or something like that.
Yeah, I think it is surah
Isra. I think it's surah Isra, but I'm not sure. Someone in the comments, they can correct me if they're listening. My bad.
One verse in the Quran that makes you rethink your life.
Ooh. Oh my God. Ooh, I got one. I'll start it. Surah Kaf. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات كانت لهم جنات الفردوس نزلا خالدين فيها لا يبغون عنها هولا. Indeed, those who believe and do good deeds, for them is gardens of paradise coming down upon them, and they will live in there, and they will abide therein. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes, he says, those who believe, those who do good deeds. It doesn't say those who never sin. That's what it makes me rethink my life. It makes me think that, you know, maybe you know what I should be focusing on? I know, like, subhanAllah, kullu bani adam khata. I sin, you sin, you sin, you sin. That's one of the craziest things. But how much do I repent? How much do I do good? What have I done? What have I brought forth? Maybe perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can have mercy on me. You get me? That it makes me just rethink. Maybe I'm looking at life wrong. I'm looking at life through a different lens. A lens that I'm not supposed to be looking at it through. So that verse right there, I always, whenever I read it, I'm just like, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. Like that's one verse that makes me rethink my life.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Oh, you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do?
Ooh,
and one that connects it, one that connects it is in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah says, do you order righteousness for others and forget yourselves while you recite the scripture? So these two kind of go hand in hand for me, because in this day and age that we live in social media, a lot of people have a lot to say. But if you're not reflecting on yourself, and this is also in private, that's why it makes me think my life, because it's in private. If you're not thinking about yourself while you're trying to go order righteousness for people, you're trying to remind people of Islam, but you don't think about yourself, what you're doing, how you're putting forth for today and for tomorrow, and to prepare for the day of judgment, or for when your time has come to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's going to ask you about that. Why did you say things? You weren't even doing them. You weren't even thinking about them. You weren't even reflecting upon yourself.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah. These are things that make me rethink my life all the time, that the more that I try to speak about Islam, whether it's within myself or outside making these videos, how am I holding myself accountable first before I try to tell someone else?
I'd say one is, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبُّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ أَقَفَالَهَا. Like, do they not ponder upon the Quran, or is there a seal upon their hearts? Now, generally speaking, you look at it and you're like, okay. But then you dive deeper into it, and it's like, am I taking the right message from the Quran? Am I really applying this the correct way in my life? Because I want you to understand something. Look at the wrongdoers all around the world. They think what they're doing is right.
Mm-hmm.
They use the Quran. They're like, they use Allah's name. Like, subhanAllah, look what's happening in Sudan right now. They'll kill innocent people. They say, Allah, Akbar, Allah, Akbar, Allah, Akbar. Like, look, Allah has given us. Like, what do you mean? You see, Hemeti, you know, he'd be like, he'll say something like, oh, like, why are you quoting the Quran when you're clearly doing wrong? You're clearly, you know,
they think
unjustly.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's like, I don't want to be amongst those people. So it's like, am I really pondering upon the Quran the right way? Am I taking the right message from it? Am I reading the right tafsir? And then, like, when I look back in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, the very, you know, the very second ayah, when it's like, like, this is a book in which there is no doubt, a guidance to those who worship Allah. Mm-hmm. Like, subhanAllah, like, this is a book which there is no doubt. I don't want to take the wrong message from this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to extract all the benefits from it and apply it to my life in the correct way.
Dude, and Allah addresses both of those. He addresses people who take verses of the Quran for their own benefit. You know, they take, like, for it to mean what they want it to mean rather than what it actually means while they do not know. And after that, this is in Surah Ali Imran. And after that, he says a dua. He teaches us a dua that says, do not put, like,
رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً.
This is one of my favorite duas, bro.
I have another thing to add, though. SubhanAllah. What you just said about these people, they think they're doing right. In Surah Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes these people. He says, should I inform you of those who are most lost, like their deeds are completely lost in this dunya? Those who think they are in the best of deeds and they're doing the best. They think that they're at the top of the top, right? In righteousness and everything, right? But their deeds have been wasted in this world, and they'll have, like, and their akhir khasir, like, it's finished. They lost the akhirah.
Like, I want you to understand something. Like, when Allah says, oh, is there, like, a seal upon their hearts? Like, when Allah puts that seal upon your heart, there is nobody that can bring you back. I want you to understand that. Mm-hmm. Like, the only remedy is Allah.
Yeah.
Like, Allah repentance is the only one who can bring you back. But yet, if Allah has sealed you away from that because, you know, you decided to do wrong, like, that's something that you'll never be able to see. You'll never be able to recognize until it's obviously too late. SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah.
Next question. How do I know the limits of talking to someone for marriage? How often can it be? Here's my first advice.
Hey, don't ask me.
You have to, one, understand that what comes with seeking marriage is desire. Because you can very well skew the intention that you're actually trying to get married with your desires, because if you allow too much emotions to get involved before you've actually done the work to understand this person's character, understand their deen, understand, you know, how you guys are compatible in terms of building a future together with mahrams involved, then you're going to completely get lost in this lust. And you're not going to be able to know that it's lust. You're going to think, oh, like, I think Allah has brought this person into my life. But you guys are not really connecting on a deen level. You guys are connecting on a personal level. Personal level is fine, but when it comes to deen, you guys might see completely different. They might believe in a certain ruling, you might not believe it, and then it might cause like a whole rift that you guys are thinking certain things. You guys want to raise your children differently and all these types of things. So what I'd say is making sure that you know your situation. If you're young and you're talking about, oh, I'm trying to get married, how soon can you get married? And is that intention actually real? You can't just say, oh, I'm going to get married, and you have no future set in mind. You have no idea when that's actually going to happen. You just think that, oh, I'm going to talk to this person. When it happens, it happens. When our families get involved, they get involved. No. Your families have to be involved. They have to understand what your plan is. How are you guys going to make this work, right? If you guys are trying to get married early and you're not necessarily thinking about living together right away and these types of things, this is all between you and the families. That's where you can actually understand, how often can we actually talk? How often can we get to know each other? But your family has to be involved.
You know, I might not have like great advice on this, but I will say something. One, marriage is a commitment, right? We can all agree.
Yep.
Marriage is a commitment. Don't sacrifice things in your life. Don't sacrifice time that's valuable for someone who's not even committed to you. And you're not committed to them. Y'all not married yet. That's just the reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands marriage. You got to think about this. There's hikmah in it. Why would I have feelings? Why would I sacrifice my feelings for someone I'm not committed to yet, right? Why would I do things with people that there's no commitment involved? That's just going to leave you room for heartbreak, leave you room for, you know, you're just going to lose, you know? It's for your protection, Yanni.
So,
it's for your protection. So it's like, subhanAllah, just think about that. Are you ready to commit to this person for their, with their flaws, with their good, with their, you know, the family that they have? Are you ready to commit to this person? If so, then, you know, try and pursue it the best that you can.
And remember, if you are young, people are subject to change, bro.
Yeah,
people
exactly.
are still maturing. People are still trying to understand themselves. They're trying to understand their relationship with Allah. So really, like, understanding who you are, how much you still have left to grow, and how your relationship with Allah is still evolving while you're young, think about the same thing for them.
Yeah, just keep that in mind.
Both of you have work to do. All right? So next, inshallah, who is the most menacing child? Be honest.
Osman.
It was that guy.
Hold on.
It was definitely you, bro.
It was definitely you.
How was it me? How?
Brother. Let's talk about you back in middle school, bro. Getting suspended. Getting bad grades, bro. Getting in trouble at school.
So they just put on my whole life story. Okay.
You was always in trouble at home.
Okay. Hold on.
You was always causing ruckus.
What about you, though?
What about me?
What about you?
Are you going to point it at me?
Oh, yeah. We're going to point it at you. Since y'all want to bring stuff up. This dude was out here fighting every day. He wouldn't get along with nobody. He could get out of class.
I forgot about that.
You forgot about that, though, huh?
You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Okay. Well, what you guys can conclude here is that having the name Osman definitely means you're probably going to grow up to be a menace.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I'll take the bait. No.
I would definitely say it's both of y'all. Both of y'all were making trouble back in middle school, bro.
What are you supposed to be, the golden child? Yeah, or something?
What was I doing?
He really wasn't doing that.
I was in Saudi when I was in middle school. I wasn't doing nothing, bro. I was a good child, bro.
Yeah, he really never did nothing.
What are your?
Say was a good boy.
Okay, chill out, bro. What are your non-negotiables when it comes to sister you want to marry? All of you have to answer.
Okay, we can all
agree on this. You're the deen and character. You have to be able to recognize taqwa within this person that they're trying to grow their relationship.
So you're speaking on my behalf?
Yeah, you speak. Yeah.
Is that?
I have an answer. I have an answer.
Okay,
you know?
Go ahead. Go ahead. Say something different than what I just said, bro.
Okay, my non-negotiable. All right, I'll be a little bit abstract. My non-negotiable is beauty and respect. That's non-negotiable.
See, now this I completely agree with. Beauty. Especially respect.
Yeah, give me that.
Look.
Give me that. Beauty and respect.
Real quick, I just want to say what I've been seeing on social media about like these men and women going back and forth. I never want to be in that situation. I never want to be in the middle of this.
Can you imagine? You imagine, look, your wife making videos about you online, exposing you to the world. I'm like,
No. It's not, I'm not even necessarily talking about that. I'm talking about you. Have you seen
some like of straight
these,
up lies?
These Muslims who go back and forth like men versus women type of stuff that you've been.
Why? That's so. That's I never, so. Don't kill. Don't do
I
that.
I never want to be caught in the middle of it, and I never want to be caught with, you know, like me and my wife talking about, oh, what do you think about this situation? This, like, I don't have an opinion. I'm not going to concern myself with that which does not concern me. Because what did the Prophet say?
I love this.
That does not concern.
Yes.
Me.
Yes. Leave that which does not concern.
Dude, can you imagine the future? One day Hussein gets on Detour. He's talking about, guys, so me and my wife got into an argument and I need you guys' opinion.
No. See, but look, I would never. That's such a problem because look, you're getting too many hands involved.
Yes.
You're getting all these brains involved, and guess what? These are people who want, they don't want the best for you. They want to see your marriage fall. They
just looking hold for on, a hold damn
on. People want to see something. Yeah. They want to see some drama. Yeah, they want to see something go down. They want to see you miserable.
Bro, and what's one of the biggest advices actual married couples give you? They say, leave everybody out of your conflicts. Even your family members.
Yes, because guess what? You're going to paint an image in their heads that's all they see of this person now. And guess what? Now they're just going to be feeding things into your head. Or every single time they see this person, they're going to think a certain way. They're going to act a certain way. Like, it's too much.
It's not good.
You know what I mean? You got to understand that at the end of the day, man, woman, we're still human beings. At the end of the day, we're not going to be perfect, and you have to accept all their imperfections. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Would you guys be willing to come to Denver, Colorado to speak?
Yes,
to
Yes, absolutely.
Of course.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. You know, just reach out to us.
You better be watching this video.
Would you rather always have to be the one to apologize first, or have your partner say sorry without meaning it?
Look, I mean, if I'm in the wrong, then I'm going to apologize.
I'm not going to go into apologizing or sorry without meaning it, because for one, you have to emphasize that communication is important and speaking about your feelings is important. If they don't feel like say sorry, then let's talk about it.
Can you stop? Repeat the question again, because I feel like it just went over my head. I ain't gonna lie.
Would you rather always have to be the one to apologize first, or have your partner say sorry without meaning it?
Say sorry without meaning it? What that means?
See,
what
like,
mean?
This is a very big problem. Like, I want you to understand something. You just took all the value and respect and all your credibility and threw it out the window when you do that.
Yeah, I know.
Because I want you to imagine, you say something and your actions show something else, or your words have no meaning, I'm not going to take you seriously.
Remember, the non-negotiable earlier, we said respect.
Exactly.
We said respect.
When your credibility goes out the window, now what? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's a very big problem.
That's why I said it's important to emphasize communication. If you feel like you shouldn't be saying sorry, talk about it. It's not necessarily bad to feel like you don't need to be saying sorry, because one, you both are entitled to your opinion. You guys are not the same. And this is one thing that, for one, I see with other people. They think that they're entitled to their opinion always being right. It's not the case.
Look, and I'll be honest. Apologizing first, what is this? I don't apologize when the time is right. I apologize when I'm wrong. Yeah, exactly. If I'm wrong, I'm going to apologize. When I'm wrong, I'm gonna go do it.
Look, even in Islam, what is there? Differences of opinion. So if you guys have both an opinion and you guys are okay with that, it's okay to agree to disagree. That doesn't mean it's a bad thing.
Of course.
That's what you have to get over. You have to get over your ego. Saying sorry is not a bad thing. And feeling your feelings and talking about it's not a bad thing either. These are actually the best things.
Bro, here's the thing. It also goes hand in hand with the respect, right? Because I want you to imagine, right? You got somebody. Why are you looking at me like that?
Go ahead.
Your husband, your wife, you should feel most comfortable talking with them about these types of things, right? Without having to feel, you know, judged or wrong, or because, you know, that's the whole point of this, right? You're supposed to be able to talk things out and, you know, subhanAllah, like move forward and there not be an issue. Mm-hmm. But the very big problem is, you know, when they start taking these things and just start using everything against you, subhanAllah, which we see, and it causes absolute nonsense. Those things that we were just talking about earlier, that's literally how all these things happen.
Real.
SubhanAllah. Okay.
We should really start Dean Tor marriage counseling.
So, I think next.
Hey, look, listen. Hey, we're horrible. Look,
next
question. I don't care what y'all say.
Speak for yourself, bro.
We did. Hey, we horrible.
Speak for yourself.
We are not. Listen, we are not the best.
Why are you double
giving
down?
Marriage advice? Because I want you to understand something. Don't take everything from us. Take everything that we say, like, if it's correct, then take it. But look, we are not scholars of marriage. We're not scholars of marriage.
He's right, he's like, right.
But I think we could really do good. Hey, if there's any couples out there that need marriage counseling, Dean Tor video, YouTube podcast, we can do it.
No, we can't.
Stop.
How do you maintain iman and tawakkul at times when you feel low and like you tried everything?
Tried everything?
Okay. No, wait. Don't be talking about you tried things everything. Like it's a remedy for success. No. Look, Ibadah is something that you have to feel first before it's actually something that you do. Look, istighfar is not, it's not the words. You don't recite the words first and say that that's istighfar is within the heart. Salah is within the heart first. Everything is within the heart first. You can't just pray and say al-Fatiha, say whatever surah and go through the whole prayer and your heart didn't feel it. It's not going to mean anything. But your heart has to feel it first. Your heart has to feel that you are present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your heart has to feel like you're actually remorseful for sins that you committed or you don't know that you committed.
Look, and no offense to this person, but I have an issue when you say I've tried everything. You got to understand. I could, astaghfirullah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. Okay, I've tried everything. Now what? It's not that. This, you know, the superpower of a human being, it's consistency. Do it every single day. I told you. Like I said, you pray those 5 daily prayers. On a long enough time frame, it's going to come back to you. Just be patient. You're a human being. You're not perfect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He's closer to you than your jugular vein. You got to understand that. So it's like, okay, I tried everything. Ah, what do I do? I'm in despair. I feel you.
Look,
I've been there. But hold you know, on. Just to give you a practical advice, start getting up in the night. Start getting up in the night and start praying. Because that's when you know, like, not it's genuine, it's sincere. You leave your bed, you leave the comfort of your bed, you put water on your face, you make wudu. Now you're cold, it's shivering. You get up, you say Allahu Akbar, you recite the Fatiha, you recite something from the Quran, you remember Allah, you make ruku, you make sujood. Make it genuine. And now, you know, inshallah, that will help.
These are actually the most important times because I want you to understand this life is a test. You're going to be tested, constantly. You know, you're going to say that you're a believer. Okay, Allah's going to test you. So in these moments, it doesn't matter what's going on. You have to keep turning back to Allah no matter what, because at the end of the day, your goal is to die in the state of being a Muslim. Now, if you just give up, then you lost the test. You know what I mean? How can you say that you're a believer and, you know, when times get hard, you know, you give up? This is the time when you should be trying to get the most close to Allah.
So, I mean, you have to recognize that, like, iman is not guaranteed, even if you're doing everything right. Because you judge your iman based on how you feel. That is not what iman is. Iman is in consistent deeds, things that are done consistently, even when you don't feel it. That's when you're going to be the most sincere. Because when your heart is telling you that, like, this act of worship is not being accepted, or I'm not feeling it, I don't feel Allah's presence, but I'm still going to do it, that's what iman is. That's where iman is going to thrive the most. Because then Allah will reward you by granting you that feeling. But that feeling is not supposed to make you judge that this is how I'm close to Allah. Because what happens? Look, what happens when you fall into your desires? Things that are sinful. You feel good, right? It's mm-hmm. pleasurable. That is the trap of shaitan. Feelings are the trap of shaitan. The state of your heart does not necessarily have to be in how you feel. And that goes into the next question. Hold on, I'll let you answer with this. By doing as many istighfar as possible and praying daily, does it guarantee your iman, taqwa, and rizq?
Does Allah not say that?
What you have to understand is, yes, Allah is going to bless you more the more that you do, the more good that you do, the more that you pray, voluntary prayers, giving in sadaqah, doing istighfar. Yes, He guarantees that. But look, once again, iman does not necessarily, don't connect your iman to how you feel. You're going to have iman as long as you keep saying la ilaha illallah, as long as you keep praying. You're going to have that.
Yeah, as long as your actions prove it.
Don't measure your iman based on how you feel. Measure it based on what you're doing, your actions. Al-A'mal. Allah says, any ounce of good that you do, it will be seen, or in out of Adam's weight, you're going to see it on the day of judgment. Mm-hmm. That is what it means. It's not in Adam's weight a feeling. Mm-hmm. Your iman is not going to be, Allah's not going to measure your iman how much good you did based on how you felt about what you did. Nah.
I want you to imagine, though, you're being tested, and you know, those times when you feel like everything is hard, Allah's going to reward you even more. I just want you to imagine that. You had everything against you, and yet you still went and did the right thing.
Huh.
You still worshiped Allah.
So this question is directed towards you, Usman. Would you ever film a day in the life at one of your dealerships?
You know, subhanAllah, I was just talking about this the other day. I was like, man, I should create a TikTok for this. For real? Bro, it would just be so funny because
I think you'd do well.
I think we get canceled. <Why? laughs> <I'm just kidding. laughs> No, but I think it would be funny. I could.
Do you think any of your coworkers are tuning into this podcast?
I don't know.
I mean, maybe the people want to see what it looks like
for a guy like you
to go out to work and sell a car, bro.
Yeah, maybe they want to see
the process, man.
And getting that suit and looking fly. I wonder, let us know. Do your coworkers ever ask you, like, why you be traveling, or like, where are you going?
Yeah, like, they're just right now, like, we're going to Toronto tomorrow. They're like, hey, didn't you just come back from Kenya? Like, what you be doing, bro?
You out there looking like a mafia boss.
All right, this one's for you, Usman. What aspect of studying medicine do you like the most?
You know, I know I really like it when, so say we're having general conversation, right? And I understand something that an average person wouldn't. So when it comes to like, so say we're like, say I'm going to the pharmacy and I'm getting a prescription medicine, and they say something like, or they'd be like, oh, it has sodium acetate, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I know what that means.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, I know about that. Like I went to go get my knee checked out, and I'm talking to the doctor. Yeah, I was like, yeah, looked at it. Yeah, I saw all that. You know, I got a little stiffness here, and I was talking to the doctor. Me and the doctor was having a flowing conversation. It was looked like he had the best time of his life with me because it finally felt like someone knew what he was talking about. So I was like, that was fire. You know, just the practical application of it. But really, studying medicine is difficult, and it's long.
Mm.
It's hard. But yeah, it's not very much.
Like, no, that's the last one directed towards you, huh?
Yeah. Nah,
if you could swap lives with one of the others, who would it be and why? Why would I think about swapping lives with another man?
Yeah, for real, man.
Nah, who you asked that question, bro?
You gotta be. But hold on now. I got a question.
All
right. Q&A? Hold on. Ain't on there. Go ahead. I'm going to submit my question right now. Hold on. I'm just playing. Look. All right. For 100 mil.
Wait, why? What you about to say, bro?
You have to survive. Oh, this guy's laughing. You got to survive 20 minutes with either a tiger, a lion, a grizzly bear, or a hippo. Which one are you taking and why?
A grizzly bear or a hippo? I mean, each one is probably going to eat you alive, bro.
I take the grizzly bear.
Why?
I think I could out-wrestle it.
What?
Yeah.
What?
What?
Yo, what's that? What's that sound effect from SpongeBob that goes...
No, I'm serious. Grizzly bear? I think I could out...
So you're going to be out there wrestling the grizzly bear?
But I think the grizzly bear, you have the best chance of living. Hippo... tear you up. A lion will tear you up.
A grizzly bear not gonna tear you apart?
But I can act.
A grizzly bear not gonna tear you apart?
I can play dead.
Based on what we've seen from the lion, I think if you stay still and you don't provoke the lion at all, I think you might.
That's not gonna work, buddy.
We watched the video. It's not gonna work.
It's the most aggressive out of all of them, so there's no way you could do a hippo.
The grizzly bear, I'm telling you.
The tiger, that one's more aggressive. It's more aggressive. It's more aggressive than the lion. The grizzly bear, I think if it just sees you, it's gonna want to beat you up. Like,
because they're not having it. Nah, it's good. We're good.
That's crazy.
Okay, Mr. Animals, what are you gonna say?
I was gonna say give it to the fam.
Wait, what?
Give the 100 mil to my family.
But you gotta You gotta survive on your. You gotta survive.
I know. Yeah, 20 minutes, 10 seconds.
Get the 100 mil to my family.
You gotta survive the 20 minutes though. So okay. How are you gonna survive the 20
minutes? So realistically, let's dissect this one by one.
Could you imagine they announced your janaza? He said, brother, he took.
He did 19 minutes, 59 seconds. He don't get the money, bro.
At your janaza, they say, okay, we're going to play janaza.
Bro's a failure. What a loser. Nah, okay, but all jokes aside. So, from a strategy standpoint, I'd have to say probably the grizzly bear. Now, hold on. Hear me out. All of them will tear you apart. All of them will kill you. You know, I'm a hippo, 2,000-pound bite force. You know, absolutely insane. Crazy. Lion, you're not outrunning it. You're not out climbing them in a tree. You're not doing the same thing with a tiger. So the grizzly bear, of course, very aggressive, will rip you apart, will kill you. But like you said, there's a strategy. You play dead. All these other videos that I've seen of like, what to do if you get attacked by a lion or a tiger. Basically, they tell you you're cooked. You know what I mean? There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So I feel like the one you'd have the most chance with is a grizzly bear by playing dead. But at the same time, too, like that's not to underestimate the power of a grizzly bear. Like that thing would probably be a lion in a fight. I ain't gonna lie. You know what I mean? Like it'd be a good fight, but the grizzly bear would probably come out on top if they went at it. And I hate to say that because, you know, a lion is one of my favorite animals, but like, you know, it is what it is.
I need 100 mil.
I will go ahead and continue with the next question.
Who are you serving first, your mom or your wife, and why?
I can't serve both.
I don't.
Okay, but
I'm just asking a question.
Okay, real answer. Okay, your wife got to come first. Anybody got a problem with that?
I agree.
Anybody got a problem with that?
Look, once you take a wife, you've taken an amana between you, her father, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Your wife is the only family member that you choose that you're not born with.
You're gonna choose, like, you have to choose her because there's an amana placed between you, her father, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you're going to take care of her.
But hold on. Let's even look at this perspective. Your wife is the mother of your kids. You know, SubhanAllah, like she is the mother now. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Imagine someone. Listen,
that's not to take away from your mom.
Your mom has her husband. right? That's what you have to think
about. She got my dad.
Yeah. First off, this question.
This question is a horrible question.
They tried to bait me.
No, but that's the point.
Here's the thing, though. I see what you're trying to get at. Yes. Yeah. At the end of the day, okay, you know, you'd have to take care of the needs of your wife first, but that doesn't mean you can't love and care for both.
Yeah, exactly.
100%.
Not for real, man. SubhanAllah. Love, but they gonna. If I see somebody in the comments talking,
who spends the most money out of you three? Definitely that Usman right there.
Usman, 1,000%. Don't even say nothing. Next question.
Bro, stop. What do you mean? Don't even stop, dude.
Don't even say nothing.
My guy, how much you have to pay your bills?
Stop.
It's cooked.
Stop.
Like I said.
Okay.
Let's move on to the next question. Next question.
Osbo, do you ever study for school?
Yeah. Next question. Let's go.
See, because you painted this image that like you don't ever got to study, brother. You just
you just know, right? You just always know.
Hey, man. Let me teach you a little dua. Rabbi zidni ilma.
Okay.
Allahumma musta'an.
Allahumma inni as'aluka 'ilman nafi'an.
No, you want to know something practical, though? Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
We're going to teach you guys a new dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka 'ilman nafi'an wa rizqan tayyiban wa 'amalan mutaqabbala.
Allahumma
amin. Ameen.
But you want to know something practical? One, when I started praying my prayers, the five at their appropriate times, and then even like in the mosques, I just saw my grades start going up. I don't know. I'm going to just say that. I don't know if there's any correlation.
Prove causation?
I don't know, but okay. Hey, you can try it yourself.
Anyway, this question definitely for y'all too. What do you think of the male loneliness epidemic?
Ooh. Y'all too. What you trying to say?
What the?
Wait, what are you trying to say?
He snuck that in there. The man alone.
The little sneak. He's been sneak dissing us all podcasts.
I'm not.
Every question that comes about people
what
looking for advice
changed?
About marriage.
What has
like,
changed
don't
in the last
me,
week?
I don't know
hey,
nothing.
Listen,
look at
what
you.
About what has changed in the last week?
What about me is lonely?
That we don't
I
know
got
about.
My brother.
Yep.
They don't mean that type of loneliness.
Oh, okay. They're talking about the ladies, huh?
Okay.
Guess what? Wait, what was the question though? For real? So we can answer it.
What is the male loneliness epidemic?
There's a Muslim male loneliness epidemic. I've talked about this before. So I don't know. Whoever asked that question has probably watched us before because I said that.
All right.
But truthfully, it's happening. Muslim males, they be lonely. They don't have, it feels like we got no community. It's an epidemic. We got to learn to, you know, build that brotherhood, build that bond. I think it starts with stop being so judgmental towards each other and start being yourselves. Start being yourself. Start acting yourself so that you can genuinely get to know people. They can know you for who you are, and you know them for who they are.
Yeah.
Do either one of you guys get social anxiety when filming in public?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But hold on.
Not that much anymore.
Anymore, I was going to say.
Nah, I still feel it.
Before, it used to be absolutely horrendous. You know what I mean? Because here's the thing. I like talking to people, like face-to-face. I hate public speaking, or I hate it. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know. Just something about me. Like, you put me in front of a group of people, I'll talk to everybody in the group. I'll talk to you face to face, even if I don't want to, right? You know, we could just have a conversation. We could sit down. It's more genuine. When I'm out there public speaking, I'm like, where do I start? you know what I mean? It's like,
how do you guys hold one another accountable when it comes to your ibadah? You hold yourself accountable.
Yeah, it's kind of like we hold ourselves accountable. And it's like when you see another dude, look, I'll give you an example. We'll pray this shit, right? We'll say adhkar. And then one of us will stand up to pray the Turaqah Sunnah. All right, now we all praying it.
I wouldn't even say that. I would say, like, if you mean holding each other accountable by saying, like, oh, we need to pray Isha now. Yeah, but, like, no, nobody's going to say, nah, I'll pray it later. That's not going to happen. If you suggest let's pray.
Yeah.
But if you're saying, oh, did you pray or did you do this or do that? That's very rare because I'm not necessarily concerned. It's that I already assume that he did it. If he's not praying right now, he probably did. Like when he comes to the crib or whatever, and
sometimes
like, it's like Asr time or something. Yeah. I don't know. I'm saying it's like Asr time. I'm not asking him, oh, did you pray Asr already? He probably already did. Or he's going to do it at some point. Mm-hmm. Because it's not my concern if he's prayed or not.
It's like those things. He got it. It's like those things I know. Now, if it's like if they're asking like, oh, if I found Usman drunk, how would I hold him accountable? Yeah, I'll probably shake him up.
Yeah,
I'll shake him up. Like, that's probably like that's how I expect our reaction. If one of us came, like if one of us
Dude,
pulled up and we were drunk,
I would be so
like
pissed.
I'll be like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
That's exactly what I saw.
Would you have the mentality that I assume like someone like poured this down his throat or something? I assume he did not do this under his own will.
Okay, sure. That's completely understandable. But it's like, Give me a scenario right now. I'll tell you exactly how I'll deal with it. Go ahead. Based off past experience,
you
and mindset.
You understand? I'm waiting to record. Right. I pull up and I'm stumbling. I'm laughing. I'm clearly under the influence. Coming to record.
Okay. First of all, I'm gonna look at you. I'm gonna be like, bro, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like,
I knew you were gonna say that.
Because
look at you in your eyes and be like, are you drunk?
But seriously though, I mean,
like on a serious note, I would did it. Like if I found one, I can't talk to you. Yeah, I would cry.
I can't talk to you right now. You know what I mean? Because it's just like, what are we gonna talk about?
I know. I'm gonna be like,
you can't understand nothing I'm saying right now. So I'm like, okay. But as soon as you in the right state of mind again, I'm gonna let you have it. I ain't gonna lie. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
In a manner that befits you. Yeah. Obviously, you know, people need to be dealt with in a different way. But I know how you are. So. You know, not everybody needs to be dealt with the exact same. But you know, knowing you as a person, yeah, I'm gonna let you have it.
Yeah.
As soon as that mind clears up. Because at the end of the day, okay, you're already in that state now. Now I gotta figure out a way to, you know, take the best care of you in that state, because you know it's obviously not a state of strength.
Safe, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're not of sound. Okay,
so
it's also important to know that if you're holding someone accountable, whether you know them or whether you don't, you have to check how you're going to hold them accountable. That you're not coming off judgmental. You're not judging them for what happened, what you saw, or
but it's
like
a little,
what the situation is.
I don't know. I think for us, it's a little different because we're intimate. Like we have close relationships with each other.
But that's fine.
But
you're still not coming off that you're judging them.
We're not gonna exceed the limits.
Yeah. But we know something's not right here. Like I would know. I'll be like, something's not, like, what happened? Something's
because
not right.
You've said it time and time again. You, like, if there's anybody, you should be the best to your family. So if you're gonna act well with someone, you first do it with your family. So I'm not gonna judge my family just because I'm close.
I didn't
to
say
them.
I'd
yeah,
shoot
of course
him.
I'm gonna be.
I didn't
very,
say I'd shoot him.
I'm gonna be concerned.
Like, you know what I mean?
But I'm not gonna by letting you have it. It's not that I'm judging you. Like, why would you do this? I want to understand what happened. What was the situation like, and how can we prevent it from happening again?
When I said I'm gonna let you have it, I meant like as far as like advice and things like that. You think?
No, that's still my slap.
Yeah, no. Honestly,
hold on.
If I came drunk, use the. Whatever, by any means necessary.
See, now he's just giving us permission. So if I see you doing some dumb crap, you know what I mean?
The camera, they call it.
But inshallah, that's going to close out this Q&A.
Wait, that's it?
That's it?
Yep, bro, that's like 50 minutes, bro. Anyway.
Oh, let's go for another 5 minutes.
Yeah, let's go.
That's like all the questions that
I've been enjoying
I wanted
this,
to ask,
man.
Yeah, see, but look, we can do it again. If you guys enjoyed this, let us know. Let us know if you guys want to see another one. I told you guys we could do it more often, inshallah. But I think that was really good. Once again, want to thank our partners at Human Development Fund. You guys, please go check them out. Link in our description. Donate if you can. Share our link. Check out the work that we're doing with them. You know, we were in Kenya, and inshallah, we're going to be doing more projects with them. Right now, we're trying to bring aid to the people of Sudan. So, bidnillah, make sure to check that out. Make sure to stay in tune with us. And hope you guys enjoyed this Q&A. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Appreciate you guys for watching this. Make sure to share this with your friends and family. You never know, his life could change by sharing this video. We're not scholars, so we're open to any correction, inshallah. SubhanAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you guys for watching. Jazakallah khairan. Make sure you guys click the link in our bio. Help us in our campaign in Sudan. This means a lot to us. This is personal for us. So it would mean a lot if you guys support us, watching us all throughout these years. Go ahead, donate, do what you can, share. Yeah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.